Good evening, guys. This is WECB, the
Underground Sound of Emerson College.
And we are Em's Music Hour.
I'm Minna.
And I'm Morgan.
Welcome back, guys.
Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a whole week. Thanks for tuning in yet again to listen to us just chatting and gabbing. Yep. That's what we do. No, just chatting and gabbing about anything. No, there's no theme here, guys.
We'll sprinkle in the music history every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, today our episode is, Morgan,
70s disco.
Oh, yeah.
Last week we visited 70s soul, and now we're moving on to the disco.
And then we'll do another 70s episode.
Guys, you're going to be so tired of the 70s.
Yeah, the 70s was arguably the one that we had to do the most, just because, it's important.
It was
like, come on now,
an important
like,
decade. Absolutely.
Yeah, super important decade. Not that the other decades aren't important, but I think in shaping a lot of the sounds that we've got going on now, the 70s, like, arguably just has, it is the roots to like everything.
It absolutely
else.
Is. So, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. It was definitely important for us to set up this context.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it'll be good context for the rest of
exactly
of the
for
episodes.
The rest of our episodes. Mm-hmm. So, exactly. Yeah. Well,
so bear with us. Come on now, no complaining.
Yeah, we can
hear you guys. We hear you guys nattering.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I know people are, we were getting
up
hate
in arms,
mail. Yeah.
Up in arms. They're weighing us at Anson for us right now.
Oh my gosh, somebody's calling in right now to hate
us.
Oh
my gosh.
Ring, ring.
So
it's a 70s disco
playlist. So tell me what's
I do have the playlist.
What's coming on first,
so
girl?
So we're going to start off with the Bee Gees and some ABBA. So I'm going to start you off with Night Fever. Enjoy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
What a great track. Wondrous track.
Absolutely.
A joyful track. It makes you want to dance.
It does.
Almost like that's what the discotheque was for.
Almost. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? And this, speaking of dancing.
Minna has a story for you guys.
No, Morgan and I both have this story.
Okay,
this
I was there.
Communal story. Morgan was actually present. So I don't know why she's acting like she's above this now. But here we go.
You watch your mouth. Guys. MC Bauer, divorce. It's over. I'm getting up and I'm leaving.
Oh my God, I'm going to make one of those, like, you know, those tabloid pictures where it's like they draw the zigzag in between the two.
It's like when Mike and Ike broke up.
Exactly.
Do you remember when Mike and Ike broke up?
Hey, who remembers? Please
tweet
us.
Who was there when Mike and Ike broke up?
But speaking of dancing and ABBA, Morgan and I, last year when I lived in a bigger suite and like we had more space to like move around, there was one time, there were multiple times me and my roommates would just like play Just Dance like in the living room.
Yeah.
And it's a great hobby to
it's
have.
A great exercise,
you know, great exercise. I was moving.
Yes.
I was dancing. I was joyful.
Yeah.
It was great. Me and my sister growing up had a Wii and we only had Just Dance 1 because we had like the British version of the Wii. So when we moved to the US, we couldn't buy like US CDs like of the Wii games. So we only had Just Dance 1 our entire childhood.
We only had Just Dance Kids, which was arguably worse.
What was even on there?
Like, row, row, row your boat.
Oh, that sounds awful. That sounds really sad, actually.
It did have Rasputin on it, I think, which is kind of crazy.
Really? That's an interesting... Oh, the only song.
The only song.
That's funny. But we were playing Just Dance, you know, at our grown college age.
Yeah.
And voulez-vous,
it's,
like,
guys,
dancing...
It's so hard.
It's so... Not only is it difficult, there is, like, floor work
involved. You are on the floor. You are crawling on the floor.
You are whipping your hair.
You are
moving your
arms. You're doing spins.
There is everything. Like,
you could imagine.
They went all out. Well, I think... So what I learned was that there was actually an ABBA edition of Just Dance that like came out. So it was like an extension pack to like the Just Dance like 2018 or whatever the year was. Yeah. And so there was an ABBA extension pack where you could get like literally all of the ABBA songs. And so like
that's phenomenal.
My little sister and I, we bought like the full version of Just Dance one time, like the software that has all of them.
Uh-huh.
And so
the database.
So we have every single Just Dance song, but they have like multiple versions of the ABBA ones. So they have like group versions where all four of them, you know, like the ABBA, like what was it? The hologram stuff. Like it basically looks like
the hologram tour.
Like all four of them in the hologram, or it's like two of them or like, you know, one of them.
I love that.
So interesting. So there are like multiple versions of them.
Guys, not to talk about Just Dance, but okay, this is not the space for this, but do you guys know that the Just Dance people are real people and they're painted?
Is that great? Okay, also, that's Just Dance lore. Like, you'll never guess
what. Yeah,
like
there literally is,
like,
a lore.
Like, so, like, there's two of the characters on the Just Dance, like, thing where, like, they had an affair and then they got married and then they got divorced because
and
he cheated on her.
And you can see them in the background of other songs.
Yes, exactly. And it's so there's, like, one song where he dances with another girl and then it's, like, then there's a song where the like, woman in the, like, the ordeal, she is, like, you know, like, I forgot what it was. It's actually Sweet But Psycho. And she's like, she's in her wedding dress and she's torn down the cake. There is lore. They have a kid together.
Yes.
It's crazy. Serious.
It is crazy. It's also crazy that is a real person that's just painted and
enclosed.
No,
and they're like, they have it like on point. It's like really interesting because it looks, you're right, like so digitized.
It looks so digitized because they make them like glow in After Effects or something. Like it's actually insane.
It's so interesting. Again, bring back practical effects. That's like a real
It's a lost art. Once again, anyway, guys.
Anyway, sorry. We know.
I know that was on the place, but we were talking about Just Dance, and I had to bring up my Just Dance knowledge.
It was really important.
Forget music history.
Yeah, we're only talking about this from now on. Right. But we are going to return to 70s disco now, and then after that, we will give you actual music history.
Yeah, we promise. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. Just you have to wait for it.
You need to get through a little tangents first.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, you guys are here for us. Yeah. We know that you guys just want to hear about us.
Let's talk about our Just Dance.
Exactly. And stuff. Okay. Anyway, so we've got Hot Stuff by Donna Summers, and then Dancing Queen by ABBA.
I got two beats. All right, let's go.
We'll be right back.
that was the queen of disco, Donna Summer, and then followed by ABBA, our favorite guys ever.
Our guys.
Our dudes. And as we explained our deep lore with ABBA, thank you guys for listening to us.
Yeah, you guys know we're a big ABBA fan. Yeah, they're just so cool.
They are. It's
they're
true.
So cool. They're I love that their music is forever encapsulated.
Just their music is forever.
It's forever.
Mamma Mia and ABBA are forever.
Well, they are forever now that they're holograms.
It's true. Oh my God, they're literally immortal. Like,
just wait until you're 3,000 and we're all getting down to ABBA still.
Exactly. They're everywhere. I had the urge to go see them live. I was going to say see them live.
Yeah, as live as you can.
So live. Yeah. Very, very live. So anyway, going back to the thesis of this show,
we'll talk about a little bit of history. So something I found is that disco actually, a lot of it came from 1930s France. It was a lot of the beginning of it.
Tell us more.
But because music sounded so much better live at the time, and like you couldn't really have like multiple speakers and like that situation, it like stayed in like Europe. Mm. Like it took a while for it to reach America. And when it did, it obviously was like met with such joy. I mean,
everyone wants to dance.
It's such a fun genre of music. And I don't know. It's
Mina, you know. Well, I was just gonna talk more about like to that point with Morgan talking about like the like audio quality of everything. Yeah. The reason that it had such a like massive resurgence in the '70s and especially it coming over to the U.S. was because they had like speakers and like actual like audio equipment that was able to make it like sound good.
Yeah.
And live music was just so expensive at the time as well that people were turning to more like underground like clubs and stuff like that, like to have a good time and to dance around and be able to do that. And it came a lot from like Italian and French culture and then a lot of like Black and queer spaces, which I thought was so cool.
Absolutely.
And obviously like a lot of like the gay bars and clubs like at the time that were obviously like, you know, counterculture and all of that jazz. They were so important to solidifying disco in this space.
Precedent of like what it would look like. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, it's really, really. And then like, honestly, like stuff like Soul Train, which we talked about last episode, was like normalizing that kind of like that
being able to like go and dance and like actually have a good time and like everybody wanted to go do that and kind of like also like let off some steam. The economy was bad, like blah blah blah, you know the history.
The world was not in a good place.
No, the Cold War, like
the things were going on. Nixon was being a mess.
Yeah, so you know people wanted to go dance and they need to go let off steam, and so this was naturally where they went to. And especially coming from the '60s, where there were already so many undercurrent and like countercultures that were being embraced so heavily by society, it was only natural like to progress kind of from the hippies to the discotheque.
And you can you can tell like a lot of it comes from like psychedelic rock in a way, where it's like those sounds of just like a lot of just like electronic sounds and like that kind of really, really cool stuff that was just finding its footing.
Yeah.
Really thrived in this genre.
And even our queen of disco, Donna Summer like came from a psychedelic rock background.
Yeah,
and so naturally it was kind of this like natural progression, even though there were a lot of people in the rock space who really didn't like disco because it was just like too commercial for them, I guess. But it's such an interesting genre, and especially coming from like these underground spaces that like just quickly made it up to the mainstream. And I also think it's so interesting that this was kind of the first time that we were experiencing like music secondhand almost like it wasn't just like live music. And these were the first like spaces to kind of cultivate that environment. And like, thank you, DJ. Thank you to the 1970s for the current DJs we have now, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. I think, for sure. Because clubbing was such a big part of like the 90s, you know, where it's like, you could definitely see where like it's all in conversation with itself. And I think like, honestly, like New Wave, which we're going to talk about soon, definitely took inspiration from the sound of disco as well, with that just like, I don't know.
And even the environment of disco, in general.
Oh,
like,
absolutely,
1,000%. And just, and just the people who cultivated those spaces and were able to, like, continue that kind of, like, legacy is so important.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right.
Super, super cool.
And speaking of those people, we're going to have Queer Anthem play.
What is it?
I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. Okay, actually, I'll tell the story after the song plays, but yeah, I have a funny story about
this. Story time is returning.
Enjoy I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. Thank you, Bee Gees.
You guys killed it.
That was I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross and More Than a Woman by the Bee Gees. Yes. I love that song.
That song is so good.
It's so beautiful. Again, it's like it really does show like the transition between like the psychedelic rock to the disco. And
absolutely.
It's like clearly so deeply rooted in that. So I do think it's so interesting that like, you know, all these rock stars were so anti-disco because like ultimately it is rooted in their genre.
It definitely
so,
has parallels. And like, I don't know. And then I feel like it did go on to influence 80s rock.
Agreed.
So like, what are you talking about?
Oh, 1,000%.
Because like, we know 80s rockers love to dress up.
Yeah, 1,000%.
They love to get in little outfits.
They love to get their little outfits on and they love to be doing it all. But I was also going to say my Diana Ross story is that I did a project on this song my sophomore year with my friend Isabel Ingersoll. Shout out Isabel. And we found out that basically Diana Ross like came into the studio and just like had like, she was just like talking about like going out. Like she just wanted to like go out and party, like whatever. And it like obviously when the song came out and like the term coming out is like such a big thing in the queer community that the queer community like took it under their wing and they were like, this is our song, like da-da-da-da.
So
this producer had to sit down with Diana Ross and was like, hey queen, so your song is blowing up right now. She's like,
surprise.
Oh great. And they're like, not for the reasons you think though.
It's blowing up with a very specific community.
And luckily Diana Ross was just like so pro it and she's like, awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
it became
so
like the song of like all of the festivals and
absolutely,
the parades and like everything, and especially with the queer liberation movement like being so big at the time, this song was also just
absolutely,
like so big at
and
the
even
time.
Like the sexual like liberation movement going on at the time, like I don't know, like I think club scene was such a fostering environment for that, where like people had spent so much time after like, you know, like the 50s and 60s being so like constricted in everyday life. Like obviously there was the hippie movement, but that didn't reach like the general public the same way that disco clubs were reaching the youth at that time.
1,000%.
Like it was a much more attainable way for people to like express their sexuality, express their interest in other people. Like I don't know, like I think it's such an important moment in God, the train of thought is gone.
No, it's okay. It was an important factor
of like that generation. And
yeah, 1,000%. And I think it's really interesting because, I mean, it starts off in a basis of like acceptance because they're coming into these like queer and black spaces that are like, you know, they're outcasts of society at this point in time. And like, you know, there's that acceptance there because like these communities are like immediately just subcultures, they're countercultures, like just based on identity.
Yeah.
And so now people are coming into this and it's more of a mainstream thing, but it's coming from this basis of acceptance. And so therefore it's a lot more normalized. And
it is,
like,
absolutely.
I think the word fostering is like a really good word for it because like, it was fostering just people being super accepting and like exploring that like aspect
exactly,
of themselves.
Exactly. Like I don't know, such an important part of self exploration, and
so
just, like,
important,
and just like societal, like it's so important, and we love the club scene.
You guys are club. And to continue the clubbing, we've got "Rock with You" by Michael Jackson.
Oh, it's such a good one. And then what's after that?
And then we got Copacabana.
Oh my god, Copacabana is about a club.
Way,
about a club in New York City that has the same name. We're cooking in the studio.
We don't even know, but
things are connected.
Yeah, exactly. Everything is always connected. So Michael Jackson is up now.
All right.
Enjoy.
To the butterflies. from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more at the Copa, Copa Cabana? The hottest spot north of Havana. Here at the Copa, Copa Cabana. Music and passion were always the fashion at the Copa. They fell in love. His name was Rico, he wore a diamond. He was escorted to his chair. He saw Lola dancing there, and when she finished, he called her over. But Rico went a bit too far. Tony sailed across the bar, and then the punches flew, and chairs were smashed in two. There was blood and a single gunshot, but just who shot who at the Copa, Copa Cabana?
Sorry to get Gloria Gaynor at her peak.
Yeah, sorry guys, I got distracted playing with the board that we can't figure out.
Yeah, we really want to figure out how to use this board because it plays like air horn noises and stuff, and we just wanted to kind of throw you guys off.
Please,
we have personality and we want to share it. Anyway, they won't let us. They're silencing us.
want to add sound effects.
And that is the truth of it. But anyway. I was just talking about with that song. Oh, sorry. That was Rock With You by Michael Jackson. I cannot say it.
Copacabana by Barry Manilow.
Uh-huh, and then I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. Thank you, guys. And then I was just saying, what happened to disco?
Where'd it go?
Where'd it go? Because I want to go dance to some disco.
Yes.
But do you know where disco went?
Where'd it go?
In 1979, there was this guy. Let me find his name now because I'm going to shout him out on air.
Get him.
I'm mad at him. His name was something Dahl, Steve Dahl. I think that was his name. Anyway, he was, you know, one of the many people who didn't like disco back in the day and, like, thought it was, like, you know, like, degrading to music and, like, music was dead because it didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And he decided to, on his show, he had a rock, like, a rock morning show, basically, like, on a Chicago radio station. And he would, like, go on air and he would talk about how, you know, like, disco was ruining rock music and whatever. And then
and also was, like, taking away from the live scene.
Exactly, yeah, which is true,
it's true,
of course.
Yeah, but, but people who wanted to be at the live shows were at the live shows.
Exactly, and people were having fun. Like, why? We can't have fun anymore. But anyways, so this guy, Dahl, he would go on his radio station and he would, you know, spew his, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. And his radio station essentially replaced his rock show for a disco show. And this was the end of it for him. He was mad. And so he went to the rival radio station and he started doing an anti-disco, like, show where he would, like, take the records, the disco records, and, like, scratch the needle, like, across them and ruin them.
Yeah.
And he was, like, you know, really adamant about how much he hated disco and blah, blah, blah. And, like, he, like, you know, until, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
To this day, he, like, considers this, like, still a joke. He was being silly.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a goof between him and his friends because, like, that's how they felt about it. But it started this whole other movement because he was like, you guys should do the same with disco records. And basically, like, there was this movement and where it was, like, an anti-disco movement called the Disco Demolition Day where people
met up. 1979? Yeah. July 1979.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And people met up in Chicago and they burned and destroyed disco records. And this, like, basically, like, put out sales because, like, there was, like, just a complete, like, deficit.
Well, it also coincided with the end of the decade, which was, like, definitely, like, it was like we were transitioning, music was transitioning into, like, you know, like, more rock and, like, more pop sounds, which is just, like, it's devastating to watch happen, though, because...
Because could you imagine, like, what would have happened had there not been this huge cultural shift against disco?
Like, I'm also, so... like, it's like the communities that disco belonged to were hurt from this.
Right.
Which is just, like... Okay, so
exactly.
Like, you're just homophobic
and
racist. Like, was that the
And that was basically it. And a lot of the rhetoric around it was, like, just, like, very anti-black and very anti-gay. And so it's, like, it's very interesting to see how that panned out. Yeah, exactly. And so it's just, it's very interesting because this was one of the first times that, again, these, like, subcultures and these countercultures were kind of coming into the public eye. And the moment they did it, like, society reminded you, like, no, stay the counterculture.
No, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I was, like, reading up about it and I thought it was just so fascinating and so strange. And so sad because we had
really
so
sad.
Many great bops, like, so many, like, oh my god, like, and I was reading more and, like, apparently, like, the Bee Gees, like, during this time had to, like, be, like escorted by, like, Secret Service around places because even they were having, like, they were getting like death threats and all this crazy stuff because they were such a big part of the disco scene. And I just, again, like, so crazy, especially considering them and so many other of these artists come from a psych rock like aspect of it where it's like, okay, whatever. Anyway,
it's crazy
it's really nuts.
And it's sad because, like, some artists could not recover because that was their sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know, like, the Bee Gees, like, it wasn't because of mine, or like ABBA, like, it's like, you know, like, there was a while where it was just like, where'd they go?
Yeah.
Which is devastating.
And that's what happened. And that is what happened. But we're keeping disco alive here on this show today.
And I'm so glad disco has made a comeback.
Agreed.
Like, it hasn't made a comeback so much in the sound, but, like, there's a really big appreciation for it and a big appreciation for the culture, which I think is so, so important.
So important. Yeah. There are, like, things like Gimme Gimme Disco around here. Go get your tickets. You can go disco it up.
Yeah.
Disco is alive and well.
Disco
and
is
we
alive
are making
and
sure
well.
Of that.
Yeah.
And we're going to play you guys out. So this was WECB, the Underground Sound of Emerson College. And we are M's Music Hour.
We hope you enjoyed, guys.
So we're going to play you out with It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls and Get Down on It by Kool and the Gang. Thank you guys for tuning in today. We love you.
Yes.
Have a great evening and peace.
Lots of love.
Bye.
got news for you. You better listen. Get ready, all your lonely girls, and leave those umbrellas at home. All right.
It's rising.
Mm. Rising.
I'm just getting low.
How low, girl?
According to all sources.
What sources now?
The street's the place to
we better
go.
Hurry up.
Come on and
get down on it.
While you're dancing.
Get down.